We have a testimony. We've had some excellent testimonies of people getting free and releasing, because it's good to see the transparency. It's good to hear that God can break through if you give him that place to do so. I'm going to have Regina come up, and she's going to share testimony she has.
Praise be to God. Good morning, everybody. Pleasure to see you guys. God has been really doing a work in us and through this church. I don't know how many of you all know, but we're connected in the spirit. There's things that many of you all may be experiencing or doing within us. And oftentimes we'll just begin to war in the spirit, and God begins to show us these things. Well, on last week, God had begun to show me that he was going to deal with some areas of forgiveness. And I said, okay, Lord, okay, you know, I'm having a pretty forgiving heart here, but God says he's going to begin to truly work in this thing. On Sunday morning, I had got the unctioning to, you know, just come on in and drive. And me and my husband have been having to take separate cars because I have to be to work at 1 on Sundays. So I drove by myself, and God says that he's going to deal with forgiveness. Lo and behold, we get here Sunday morning, and the pastor's talking about forgiveness. I said, okay, Lord, okay. So yeah, he led me to share this about how we're connected in the spirit. This man has a powerful anointing upon him, but not only that, that anointing begins to reflect on us. And as we go out, we have that covering and that anointing of our pastor on us. And I tell people so often, they say, Jenny, why don't you just speak out? I said, let me tell you something. When I speak, I need to be up under my pastor, because he has to weigh what I say. So though I have the gift of prophecy, I don't go out prophesying unless I'm up under my pastor, because he'll correct me if I'm in error. So I have to wait on that. So I just want to let you all know, continue to follow up on that anointing, because when we go out, there's going to be such a holy, powerful giving of anointing that is within us. So y'all just keep that on you guys as you all flow. Even when you're not here, connecting the spirit in prayer, because though he's warring in the spirit, we still have that same anointing to war in the spirit. Okay, so that happened on Sunday. He showed me that. Okay, so during the week I had been praying. I had been really praying in the spirit. God had begun to allow me to begin forgiving people. He would sometimes call them by name, and I would just begin to forgive them. That was during the week. On Friday morning, I went into deep intercession, and the Lord just began to bring to people my remembrance that I needed to forgive. Even people that I may have hurt, because sometimes we can offend people with our mouth. We may be a powerhouse, but our mouth can get us in trouble sometimes. And so I would begin to go through this powerful sense of just releasing this forgiveness. And I said, Father, I forgive them. I go back generations and I just forgive them, Lord Jesus. And I had a relative not shortly thereafter. I went out on Friday, and my relative called me, and she says, I don't know why I'm calling you. She said, but I just felt led to call you. Well, I don't know if you guys know, but me and this girl had been literally at war with each other since children. I never hated her, but she just hated me. But I loved her and I looked up to her. I'm 30 years old and she's about 35. So we had a little bit of age difference there. And so she just said, Gina, I just want to talk to you. I'm going to tell you something. She had breast cancer. God had removed one of her breasts. God had already showed me in the spirit a long time ago that from anger leading to cancer, that unforgiveness leads to heart failure. That pain and that unforgiveness that we can carry within ourselves leads to sickness. So whenever the enemy shows up to tap on that body, he begins to search out those areas in us that may be there. And God will begin to show him, okay, you may be able to tap this area, but not that area. I'm working on this area. So he has to be, he can't tap every area of the body. You understand? So she had went through this sickness. One of her breasts was removed. So as I'm listening to her, I let her do all the talking. And finally, I went in and God began to remind me of some areas of pain that was there. And I said, you know what? I'm going to forgive. I said, we're going to forgive right now. And we stay on this phone for over an hour just forgiving one another. You hear me? It was so amazing. The power of God working on this situation. Not only that, God began to show me that he was going to heal that whole relationship through the whole family. Through the whole family. So you guys continue to walk in this. There's going to be people in your life that may offend you. They just may look at you funny. You just forgive them in spite of. You understand what I'm saying? Some people are going to cause you an offense, and you're going to have to say within yourself, that's their problem. Because you don't have to carry everything with you. The more you forgive, the more God has the ability to bless you in your life. Because when the Holy Spirit begins to show up to bless you, he has to be able to see that there's no offense. Keep your heart blameless and allow God to work in you and through you. Amen.
Isn't that good? I tell you, he's doing a work. He's going to do a lot more. If you let him, he'll go as far as you'll let him go. The further he gets, the more is going to flow. Amen. You know, it's really amazing when you're first born again, how much the Spirit of God will flow and what he'll do through you, because your slate is so clean and you have such an innocency, and he's just so free to do things. And over time, if you don't watch it, it's easy to retain trespasses, and it's easy to retain resentment towards God, and it's easy to get plugged up. Over time, there's certain grace on your life. When God gives you grace, I mean, you can be all kinds of trouble, but that grace will just work. But then other areas won't work. They'll just break down all around you. You know why? You do all these things. You're doing right in 9 out of 10 different areas, but this one area is plugging everything up. And this is what the Lord wants to focus on during this fast. Amen. So turn to Isaiah 58. I actually have a prophetic word. I got a text yesterday morning. Janice Lawrence, she texted me this chapter, and not Isaiah 58, it's 2 Chronicles 29. She goes, this is amazing. She's not able to come. She wasn't able to make it today, but I told her, I'm preaching this chapter. She goes, this is an amazing chapter for where we are. And I started reading it, and I just came alive on this. And the Spirit of the Lord is all over this chapter. And so I'm going to preach it today, but I'm going to enter in through Isaiah 58. So let's look at verse 6 of Isaiah 58. It says, is not this the fast that I have chosen? The next two verses, or the two words, is what we want. To loose. To loose. To loose. We can say to loose what is bound. To loose what is retained. To loose the bands of wickedness. Sometimes those bands of defilement that are coming from trespass, and those bands of defilement that are coming from our land being violated, our interior heart being violated, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens. One of the things you're going to find out is a lot of burdens are going to start lifting off of you when you start forgiving properly. And we've been talking a lot about this the last 3 services of how to forgive, what forgiveness is and what is not. Forgiveness is not, it's you hurt me over here, I forgive you, and I'll live on this side of the universe, you live on that side of the universe. It's not always just necessary getting back together with that person either, because true forgiveness and to lose something, especially if they've wounded you, is going to require not only you get healed, but you're going to have the love of God restored in your heart towards that person, because he's not just interested in you just forgiving them. You're going to have to loose the trespass, and to loose the trespass, or to remit it. Whatever trespass you remit, it is remitted. Whatever trespass you retain, it is retained. To loose that, you're going to have to come into love, into the love of God towards that person. And so just getting on one side of the universe and then being on the other, that's not true forgiveness, because when you come back into the love of God towards that person, he's interested in you forgiving, being made whole, and then obtaining mercy and forgiveness on the part of the trespass between two parties. You can't obtain mercy on another party if you don't love them. You can't be holding anything. And to truly loose that person, especially the ones that have hurt you and wounded you the most, violated you, that's the ones you got to spend time with. That means you can't just go, Father, I love them, I bless them, amen. Because that's not dealing with a hard issue. You're going to have to bring them before the throne of grace, amen. We've been talking about that. So, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, even if that's you, or the one abound in you. That you break what? Every yoke. I'm believing every yoke of unforgiveness is going to be broken in this place. Every trespass is going to get broken between God and man. Amen. I'm going to tell you, after 21 days, the Holy Spirit is going to be so free to flow. Already you can feel his glory just starting to fill up again. Amen. I want a free flowing spirit out of all of us, but you got to give yourself to this process. You can't just hear this. You've got to jump into this. You have to jump in it. Everybody say jump in.
I read a little bit forward to 8, and I want you to read with me, okay? Because this is the promise of God. Then shall your light break forth like the morning, and your healing, and this is amplified, your restoration and the power of your new life shall spring forth speedily. You hear that? Your healing shall spring forth speedily. Your righteousness your rightness, your justice, and your right relationship with God. Who wants to be closer to God? Who wants to be more intimate with God and not draw back, but press forward and press in through the discomfort of the flesh? It's like, go in. Relationship with God shall go before you, conducting you to peace and prosperity. Who wants greater wealth in their life, greater finances? Ooh, yeah. Okay, I mean, these are the promises of God. It's okay to say, I do. I can be a greater witness in the kingdom, a greater blessing to the kingdom. And the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Wow. Okay, meditate on that.
I jump into her message, she jumps into mine. That's awesome. Look at verse 7. She got verse 8, so I'm going to just do verse 7. Because this is what we're going to do here in this 21-day period. Is it not to deal thy bread to thy hungry? You can deal your bread. Since you're not going to be eating it, you can go ahead and deal. You can deal the bread you are going to eat to the hungry, and you're going to just stay hungry. That thou bring forth the poor that are cast out of thy house, and when thou seest the naked, you cover them. And now look at this. This is it. And that you hide not thyself from your own flesh. The biggest problem that's going on is we're hiding ourselves from what's going on contained in our flesh. Retained offenses. Retain trespasses. We hide ourselves from it. We learn to walk with it. We develop facades or whatever to deal with the pain. And what happens, all this remains. And what this fast is designed to do is not hide yourself, but to face it. Now listen, I know it's not going to be easy sometimes to face very difficult situations. On Tuesday, it's normally our financial contending day, and we get after it, but we're contending in another way. We're actually going through these prayers and praying for the people and lifting them before the throne of grace and obtaining the love of God for them. But I was out in the parking lot after Tuesday, and Tim, my armor bearer, kind of walked up to me, and I just saw that there was a little struggle going on inside, and the Lord had already spoken to me on Sunday, and I didn't say anything to him. He said, you're going to have to encourage him a little bit. Sometimes people need a little bit of encouragement because this is not easy to do sometimes. And I said, Tim, I said, you're going to have to deal with that person. He goes, what? You know, what? I said, you know the one I'm talking about. He goes, oh, no. And he just shook the head. Matter of fact, just come up here just a couple minutes. This is really powerful because he did this.
Good morning. Well, Tuesday I came up here. I was at a funeral with my job, and I was able to get up early, and I said, okay, let me get here and just see what's going on here. LaRue and I were out in the parking lot talking, and he told me, Tim, there's somebody in your life that you need to really forgive. I'm like, no, I'm good. I left that person. We did it. We did it over in Sozo. I left it. We good. It's over there. I said, no, I don't have to, but I knew what he was talking about. But I'm like, no, we're good. I did it 4 or 5 years right there in Sozo. We're good. But when I did it, the thing about it was when I did so, a lot of people do it. We used to walk the walk, talk to talk, but we don't really release it. And the thing about it was I did that. And what I mean by that, I went through the motions. I talked, I prayed, I released, supposedly to release that person. But what I did was I buried it so deep down there in the ground that nobody could see it. You can't tell what I had going on, only unless the Holy Spirit told you. But by the grace of God, some reason the Holy Spirit told him that I need to forgive this person. I don't know why, but I was doing good. I didn't want to mess with that person. It's like when we have family gatherings and that person didn't know I had that much hurt going on. I just put the front on because for our kids before the family gatherings and put the happy face on because for our kids, grandkids, to please them and other family members. It's like we're doing it for the kids. But if you really knew why I was hurting so bad inside, you wouldn't want to be around me right then because you wouldn't know how much anger I had out towards that person. Or hate because of what you did to me. And 14 years ago, I was building that up. I had so much hate and anger towards that person. But by the grace of God, with LaRue coming back Tuesday, telling me, you need to release that person. I'm like, no, I'm good. Then when I get home, tell my wife, hey, LaRue told me this. And she knew who it was. We knew who it was and how true it was. He hit the nail on the head. I was like, okay. But I'm texting LaRue and tell my wife, I can't go. I had nowhere to pray. Because we live in a two-bedroom apartment with 5 people. I have no room. Yes, I can't pray. No ifs, ands, buts about it. We ain't happening. My prayer closet is in my bathroom. But by the grace of God, Michelle's over texting LaRue. Hey, Tim said he's rebellion. There's nowhere to pray. He ain't going. And LaRue comes back. Oh, go tell him to go to church. It's open. I'm like, oh, Lord, here we go. And Michelle's like, Tuesday night, you can go. You have no excuse because I'm going to Girl Scouts with Bree and grandparents are going to watch Jay. You can go now. You have no excuse. I'm like, dude. I'm like, okay, here we go. I come up here. And I go up to the preteens, open the door up, get in there, just start sitting down, relaxing, chilling. But my thing is, the way I enter, I don't enter through the Bible like some people do. I enter through praise and worship. And we all different. And you got to enter the way you enter in. And the way I enter in was through praise and worship. After about the second or third song, boom, I hit it. I was in there. But I wasn't in there where I was in there with that person, but I was in there with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was telling me, look how many people you hurt. And I was like, what about that person hurt me? You don't know how bad that person hurt me. Come on. He's like, no, look at all the people you hurt. You don't even know they might be holding grudges against you. What he told me was, it's your time. I said, what do you mean it's your time? It's your time to prune the wineskins and then come back off again. You got so much old wineskins that I can't even talk to you anymore. You're so clogged up. I can't even talk to you anymore. Yes, you got so much old buildup from little stuff, but it's so built up. I'm pulling it off again so the communication can be clear. After doing that for about maybe an hour or two, I was up there. And then finally, after he cleansed me, then I was able to go up to the heavens to the right hand of Father, where LaRue's telling us about. I experienced it. I went up there, and I was able to see the situation, what I went through. And I released it. I released it. I released that person. I laid it down. When I did, I felt so much lighter, freedom, everything. But the thing about it was, here we go. Here we go again. Are you going to walk the walk, talk the talk, and that's it? Or are you going to walk the whole thing? Yes, you can do that again. You can do it all the same like what you did before, like Sozo. But you can do the same thing, or are you going all the way? Next day, Holy Spirit tells me, call that person. I'm like, what? You got to be kidding. I told my wife this, and she's like, yeah, right. You ain't going to call that person and do what the Holy Spirit tells me? Because I'm like one of those poles right there. I'm like, you can have my car, you can have my money, you can do all that. You can have my kids if you want. I ain't calling that person. And the Holy Spirit told me, call that person. If you're going to be obedient and do what you're going to be this new level and be able to flow with LaRue. And LaRue told me, you need to come up with me. If you're going to be my armor bearer, you need to be flowing like where I am. So there's no blockages for you, the anointing, the finances, everything, ministry. He said, you need to do it. Be obedient to the Holy Spirit. And I did it. Wednesday, I told my wife, I'm going to call this person. I started dialing the number, like one number there, one number there, one number there. Finally, it rings. This person answered. I said, hey, how you doing? Okay, what's up? Nothing, I'm good. Then we started talking. I said, I just want to let you know, in the last 13 years, because me and Michelle are going to be married 13 years in February, I got 13 years of buildup of hate, anger, everything, because of the situation you did. And they didn't know that. They did not know that. And I said, right now, as of today, on this day, right now, I'm laying it down. I said, I forgive you. I love you. The mistake you made, I love you. I want to move on. And from then on, it's amazing how God just did a miracle, just released me. And now I feel so much free, freedom. There's freedom now. Now when I see that person, it's like, hey, I want to give that person a hug. I don't have no hate against that person anymore, or just a front, a costume. Like, hey, okay, you're here, but I really love that person. And God releases us. And the thing about it, guys, if you don't do it, you don't know what you got built up inside of you, how much years build up. Because one little thing, it's going to be all this over years of time. And it can cost you to have heart problems. Like me, I had 3 heart attacks because of probably that situation, stress dealing with over 13 years. Doctors are saying, no, it's all this. But really, if they evaluate, it's probably all that stress over years of that situation. Now I'm being released. There's freedom in my place. And LaRue's like, ooh, you're happy now. I see you release that person. And it feels like you've been set free, and you have. And if you don't do it, you want to do it because there is a whole different release of it. But it's awesome, guys.
Hallelujah. You'd be amazed when that stuff gets dealt with, how a lot of the quick-tempered, short-tempered, those attitudes, all of that just starts falling by the wayside. And this is what hiding not yourself from your own flesh is about. Amen? You guys ready for this prophetic word? Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 29. This is a wonderful, incredible chapter. Glory to God. We're going to begin with verse 1. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old. I was very prophetic right there because I'm like 25 years old in the Lord, so I kind of like that. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem, verse 2, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. In the first year of his reign, I want you to get this, in the first month, say the first month. We're in the first month. You can underline first month. He opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. Because they were closed and they were desolate. Now, I want you to see this chapter as the house of the Lord is the temple of the Lord. And that temple is inside you. Because God's going to open the doors of the temple. Some of our temples have been closed off. Some of them have been abandoned. Some of them have defilement. And we're going to get all that out. The Bible says, I pray you be sanctified, spirit, soul, and body. I've always wondered, God, what's my spirit need to be sanctified? It's made in your image. Not unless you start retaining offenses within your soul. You can get all messed up everywhere. Spirit, soul, affects your body, the whole thing. And the doors have been closed, and there's a reason those doors were closed. And so he's going to open the doors, and he's going to repair. See, we need our gates opened. If they're closed off, the Holy Spirit cannot flow properly. Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit yesterday, today, and forever. He does the same thing he did before, but if we're closed off, we don't get that free flow that we desperately need in every area of life. Because he's here to manifest the glories of the right hand of God. That's his job. So in the first year of his reign, the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord to repair them. And he brought in the priests and the Levites. Now the Levites and the priests for us is kind of like our faith. It's the word of God and our faith working. They're going to go in there. They're going to start working in the temple. Amen. He says he gathered them together into the east street. Now that's very important. The east street was actually, he gathered them all at the east gate. You know, the temple facing north. So the east gate is the same one, the river of God that flowed out. Ezekiel's river flowed out of the east. Why? Because that's the right hand of God. See, east is the right hand. So the temple flows from the right hand. So you go into the right hand from the east gate. So Hezekiah brings them up to the east gate to come into the temple. Now, sometimes we have some things that are defiled because of retained offenses, bound trespasses. And we're going to see this temple had some serious defilement from his father. All right. So he said unto them, verse 5, hear me, you Levites, sanctify now yourselves. Sanctify the house of the Lord our fathers and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. See, your spirit, the temple of God is a holy place. It's where the Holy Spirit flows. And sometimes defilement gets in, especially when we retain all that anger that Tim was sharing about was built up. It was built in. It's because that was retained. And sometimes we don't even know we're retaining things. You asked me 3 weeks ago. In fact, somebody told me that. In fact, my mom told me that. About a month ago, she goes, I just think there's some people maybe you need to forgive. I'm like, no, not me. I said, not me. I said, there's no way. I'm good. Just like Tim was saying, I'm good. You know, we all do that. All things are naked and open unto the eyes of him we have to do. You might be good in your head and your mind. When you get before God, you'll find out. Just one trip through the judgment seat of Christ and you'll figure out. Oh, me. Oh, my. By the time God's through with you, you're going to be a love machine. You're going to love. Even the unlovely, you'd be amazed how you can go before a throne of grace and literally have hatred or unforgiveness and roots of bitterness. And by the time he's done with you, you have perfect love because he's not asking you to do any of this with the power of your flesh. He's going to do it with the power of his love. And that's what we're going to access. He's going to cleanse the temple with his power. Amen? But you have to be willing and you have to go in by faith. One of the things he added this morning that we're going to be working on is built up resentment towards him. Because we're people that walk by faith. And when you walk by faith, it's not always going to go the way you want it to go. And when it doesn't go the way you want it to go, sometimes our reaction is, why, God, how come you're at fault here? And sometimes we release indictments towards God and we don't even know we're doing it. We begin to indict him. And sometimes we get built-in resentment towards him. You start getting built-in resentment toward God, you're in trouble. Some people outright hate him. They blame him for everything. And when you have that start built in towards God or man, all of that obstructs the flow of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And the flow of the kingdom. And this is why the temple has to be cleansed. Amen. He's going to remove the filthiness out of the holy place. This is the fast he's chosen. Hide not yourself from the filthiness in the temple. We got to get it out. Now look at this. Verse 6. For our fathers have trespassed. There's been a trespass in the temple. Done that which is evil in the eyes of the Lord. We're going to get into that trespass in a minute. And forsaken have turned away their faces from the habitation of God. Listen, when there's a trespass, it blocks the intimacy with God. What happens, in essence, we turn our face away. We don't have that free flow. We don't have that innocency. We don't have that goodness and mercy flowing every day. It becomes a drudge. It's drudgery to walk with God. You just show up if you want to. Here we go again. Worship's just a little long in this place. I just wish you just, if you could scale that down to 15 minutes. You know, your sermons are a little long. If you could just get those down a little bit. And I don't like the way that person over there sings. And you get all this, you go in, you feel totally justified walking in that door and out that door. All that stuff is baggage. Because when the love of God's flowing, you overlook a lot of stuff. When it's not flowing, we tend to get a little proud, a little self-righteousness flowing. You get that stuff built up, you get real touchy about everything. How do you know I was master at that? You just get touchy about everything. Just touching. That happens. You get a quick-tempered person because they got a lot of stuff built in. It is an interior volcano going on. It doesn't take much to set it off. Just get the right person in the right place and that volcano will flow. How would you like the Holy Spirit to flow like that volcano flows? Amen. Verse 8, this is, wherefore the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem. In other words, there was judgment on the land and he delivered them. Look at this. When the temple is blocked, you're headed for trouble. He delivered them to trouble. To astonishment, to hissing. And for lo, our fathers have fallen by the sword. Things will start happening in the wrong way. You don't know why. You're still praying. You're still attending. You're still doing. You got all these things going right, but it's just one thing. That stuff is clogging and blocking the temple. And if there's defilement going on, well, things of trouble will come. You remember that parable of that man, that king? That man was forgiven by the king. Modern day, hundred millions of dollars in Matthew 18. Not only said he forgave him, but then loosed him. See, there's the forgiving and the loosing. That guy turns around to a guy that owes him a day's wage. And he said, he caught him by the throat and said, pay me all. And he says, you wicked servant, I forgave you of a debt you couldn't pay in 10 lifetimes, and you couldn't turn around and forgive that guy a day's wage. And he says he delivered him into the prison. Now, the prison is the circumstance of wilderness and trial. Ever been there? You can't seem to break it. You're going through things. You don't know why you're going through them. There's trouble. Sometimes there's torment. Because things are blocked up. We've got to get it settled. Amen. Now, what I do is I go before the Lord and I just say, Father, I just present my life before the throne of grace. And I just come before. We talked Thursday night about washing the feet of those in the throne of grace. You know, he washed the feet of Judas before he ever committed that. That was actually washing the feet of your betrayers. You're not going to have that opportunity to do that very much in the natural. I don't know very many people who betrayed you who actually let you wash their feet. You're just not going to get that kind of circumstance most of the time. But you can wash their feet in the throne of grace, my friends, with pure and perfect love. I tell you, you can, and it's wonderful. But I'll come up into the throne of grace and just present myself and sit there. Some of you got to just rest a little bit. You want God to do everything. I got 5 minutes, Lord. I'm going to forgive this person. If we can't do this in 5 minutes, I got to go. They've been messing you up for 15 years, and you're going to give God 5 minutes? They'll mess you up another 15 years. Until you get the temple dealt with, you got to come up there and say, this is a process. You got to know. That's why we're going to spend some time with it. It's a fast that we hide not ourselves from those things. Because 21 days, we don't want those things anymore. Amen? It's probably not even going to take 21 days. We just got to give the Lord that space. And I wait for him to bring somebody to me. And I'll wait and wait. Because I want the one he wants to deal with. See, the Holy Spirit's there to help you. He's going to be there. And when he brings that person, then I begin to bless them. And we begin that whole process we've been talking about. Now, go back one chapter to chapter 28, because he said, our fathers have trespassed. See, the problem why this temple was closed off, defiled, broken down, is our fathers have been trespassing. You look at verse 24, his father was Ahaz. You do not want a father like this. He, that man, mercy on him. I'm just going to read one verse because one verse is enough, but you can read the whole trespass you want. It says, Ahaz gathered together, verse 24, he gathered together the vessels of the house of God and cut them in pieces. This was the holy stuff. Cut them in pieces. And shut up the doors of the house of the Lord. Say, shut up the doors. He's the one that shut the doors. This was the original trespass that shut the door, which the Son had to come and open the door and obtain the mercy, obtain the healing, obtain the justice. Because his father, Ahaz, when he brought in, he cut up all that stuff in the temple and then shut the doors to the house of the Lord. Man, you know what happens? That's what happens when we have a situation come in, a trespass. And because we don't properly deal with it, we just let that defilement come in and we just shut the door on the defilement. How do you think anything's going to go right when there's interior defilement that has not been dealt with? He says, cut in pieces the vessels of the house of God and shut up the doors of the house. And he made him altars in every corner of Jerusalem. And that wasn't an altar to God. That was an altar to the false gods, to the heathen gods. I mean, that man single-handedly corrupted the entire city and the nation. One man reigning like that, just corruption everywhere. You know what his name means? I'm sitting there meditating. And the Lord said, why don't you look up the meaning of his name? I said, all right, I'll do that. It comes from the root word, akaz, A-C-H-A-Z, akaz. It means to seize, to take possession, and you can add by way of trespass. The spirit of Ahaz, through trespass, through offense, wants to seize and take possession of your temple to defile it. That's what it's there for. Sometimes it comes generationally. And sometimes it comes from the one sitting right next to you or three rows down, you know. It comes from your brothers or it can come generationally. But that trespass wants more than to get into the temple. It wants control. He wants to seize control of your temple and shut the door. If he can shut the door, he's going to shut the door of the Holy Spirit, and you are headed for trouble. All kinds of trouble. And you don't even know it. Because once that darkness sets in, you don't know why the darkness is there. And you'll stumble year after year, and that stuff will get built up. Ahaz wants to seize control by way of trespass. The spirit of Ahaz wants to occupy illegally. You know, he was supposed to be the steward of the temple, and he ended up controlling and shutting the whole thing down. Now, we need that spirit of Hezekiah to come in his 21 days to open us up. Not just trespasses one to another, trespasses one to another, also offenses towards God. You know, every time the word, I didn't know this, Janice, Lawrence told me this as well. She's over here talking to Anna. And every time the word offense is used, it's speaking of offense towards man and God. I didn't know that. He said, you were offended because of the word. He says, go tell John, blessed are those that are not offended in me. We can get offended with God a lot easier than we think we can, because we get disappointed because we walk by faith and things don't go. Like Pastor Chuck was telling me, you know, we wanted a revival 10 years ago. I wanted a lot of stuff 10 years ago. And each time I didn't get it when I wanted it, I saw why. We'd be in really bad shape right now because we just weren't ready for that. Everybody just wants it to flow out. But are you ready to handle something like that? Are we ready to steward that properly? You know, almost every one of them end in 4 years. The cities are worse off than they were before they came. We like the move of God. We want God to do things, but we have to let him prepare us for these things. And sometimes delay is not denial. It's just getting you ready. But we don't like that process. More important, we don't always know what that process is. We have to walk with him and teach us the process. All last year, he's teaching us how to come in the right hand of God. Been a glorious year. Then he teaches the Holy Spirit's bringing all that here. And all this stuff in the temple's blocking him. We are on a progression to do it God's way. Amen? You don't always have to get into the book of Numbers to know where God's at. Because I can tell you right now, there is a church that there's a lot of accumulation going on. Because you can make the gospel easy and real little bit of accountability, just a little bit, and keep the messages thin and milky, you know. People will come and just create a real nice environment for them. They've modeled this. This is a model now that everybody looks at. That's what God looks like. But there's another God of demonstration and power and glory. When he shows up, whole cities will come to the door. But to get that from him, you got to know a little bit. We have to go through some things. We have to learn of him. We have to stay before his feet. We have to have the Holy Spirit teach us. Amen. And we have to deal with things like we're dealing with now. I'm not going to tell you this is going to be easy. Because it's not. Some of you, it'll be real easy. Some of you, just like Peter, you just jump in. I'm like that. But other people say, man, not so fast. I'm not about to touch that person. You have no idea. Of course we don't. Of course we have no idea. I don't know, as pastors, 14 years, we don't have any idea how someone's hurt or offended you. We wouldn't have the foggiest clue. Nothing. Because we don't experience anything like that. Listen, just about everybody in here has a big idea of what's happened to you. Because it's happened to everybody else. It's just how you deal with it. I can tell you nothing can stand against the power of his love. Amen. So Ahaz wants to take control of the temple. And Hezekiah wants to root it out. Booyah. All right, go to verse 10. Hezekiah, he begins chapter 29, verse 10. We're back in 29. We're about to give Ahaz the boot. Some of us are going to have to give Ahaz the boot. And there's a lot of Ahaz going on. Now it is mine heart to make a covenant, Hezekiah, with the Lord, that his fierce wrath turn away. We got to get this stuff out. Now look at this. Verse 11. Here's the word of the Lord for you for the next 21 days. My sons, be not now negligent. Be not now negligent. Don't be negligent during this time. Hear what the Lord's doing. Stay in tune with what he's doing. For the Lord has chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, that you should minister to him. Verse 12, here we are. Then the Levites arose. It's time we're going to rise up and meet this challenge. Because there's probably more stuff than you know. One person can say, I don't have anything. That won't cut anything when you get into the throne of grace, because I can assure you, we all have a whole lot more than we're really willing to look at. Amen. But it's a time the Lord wants to cleanse all this. He's doing it because he loves us. He's doing it so he can prepare us. He's doing it so he can manifest his promises and his will through our lives. Amen. I venture to say not one of us will be the same in 21 days if you'll be not now negligent. And you'll rise up to meet this challenge to give yourself to the Lord during this time. Amen. Sometimes you got to deal with difficult situations. I know. When you're going in by faith, it's not a fun thing. But when you're coming out with the love of God, it's a real fun thing. You went in one way, you're coming out another way. Because you're going to meet the love of God there. You're going to love these people. And it's a testimony as an overcomer. God's not just asking you to put up with it. We've all suffered under these things. You got to suffer for the Lord. But we've done that. I don't want to just suffer for the Lord the rest of my life. I want to overcome. I want to overcome what the enemy's thrown. He's thrown a lot. I want to rise up above it. I want to kick Ahaz into blessed assurance. I want to give him the boot. I'm not going to allow the spirit of Ahaz to defile my temple the rest of my life, because I'm not willing to look at something difficult. Well, I have nothing to look at. I'm cool. Everything's cool. You heard Tim. That's perfect testimony. Sometimes we have that kind of exterior. But you're not hiding nothing from people who walk in the Spirit. They see it anyway. Problem with this church, a lot of people walk in the Spirit around here. So you're coming in thinking you're hiding things like you've been doing everywhere else. You walking in, I'm hiding it. Nobody knows. Everybody going, oh, Lord, we bless them. But please jerk that thing down. Because that's not the real person anyway. So he calls them all, verse 15. And they gathered their brethren, sanctified themselves, and came according to the commandment of the king, verse 15. By the word of the Lord to cleanse the house of the Lord. We're here to cleanse the temple. This is the fast he's chosen. We're not going to hide ourselves from this defilement no more. We're going to cleanse it. All of it. Attitudes, trespasses, pride, self-righteousness, all of it. Resentment. Towards God, Paul said in Acts 24, herein do I exercise myself to have a conscience void. He says, I exercise. That means exercise. You got to get on that treadmill. You're going to have to do something to have a conscience void of offense towards God and man. Some of you had very difficult fathers growing up. Some of you were not parentally raised. Some of you were raised in broken homes. Some of you been in very destructive relationships. One after another, after another, after another. And the pattern's not been broken because the Spirit's attracted to that defilement. You start going into broken relationships and you don't have that dealt with. Spirits are attracted to likeness. It's like a magnet. I mean, a spirit of dysfunctionalism, it just attracts the dysfunctional person. You find dysfunctional people. I want to be your best friend. Because you got it. And it hadn't been dealt with. And you got a person that's whole and sound and favor. Lord, guess what they're attracting? Soundness, wholeness, favor. Says, so why is that coming? Defilement attracts defilement. Goodness attracts goodness. If you're whole on the inside, you're going to attract some good stuff. Guess what I'm going to attract? Goodness and mercy coming by way of the Holy Ghost. Goodness and mercy is going to be attracted to me like a magnet. I want the Holy Spirit to be attracted. He's living in me. I want him to release. Because I don't want to be plugged up. When the Holy Spirit's flowing, you're going to have some goodness and mercy. Things are going to go well for you. You know, some people, just things go well for them all the time. Because they've got a good interior. They're clean. And if things happen to us, one thing after another, after another, after another, we have defilement. Ahaz is occupying illegally, and he's drawing other Ahazes to you. Drawing trespasses. I want trespasses to run from me when they see me. There is no place in that man for a trespass. I want love and goodness and favor. I want the Holy Spirit to be able to manifest riches and glory. power, blessing, light, love. I don't want to walk around church. I don't want you to walk around like this either. Oh. Time to come to church again. Just hanging in there. You hanging by one finger. I'm in there and just hanging in there. What you hanging on? You know, we always get this thing like God's going to ride in on a white horse. He is not going to ride in where he has not a place to ride into. He's not going to ride out of you if he doesn't have the open door to ride out. The temple of the doors were closed. That's what Ahaz does. It comes with a mission to close the doors of this temple. Then nothing flows in, nothing flows out, but stagnant water. Bitterness. Stagnation. Defilement. Once it locks the doors of that temple, guess what? It all comes seething up like a volcano. Coming up through your emotions, coming up through your mind, all locked in. We all deal with it differently. Some of us wear it on our sleeve. Others cover it up professionally. I got a professional facade. You'll never know who I am. God knows who you are. Can't hide any of that from him. Verse 16, and the priest went in to the inner part of the house of the Lord. You got to go in there. Everyone say amen. I got to go in. I got to send the Holy Ghost in there. I got to send the Word of God in there. I got to send my faith in there. I may not like what I'm seeing, but it's going to change. He went in the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it and brought out all the uncleanness that they found in the temple. The priest, like the Holy Ghost, he going to go in. He's going to bring out all that uncleanness and take it far away from you. Amen. Might be a few sins in there he might remove while he's at it. They carried it abroad. Now they began the first day of the first month to sanctify. Verse 17. Look at this. And the eighth day of the month, they came to the porch of the Lord, so they sanctified the house of the Lord in 8 days. It might only take you 8 days. But I can tell you what, it's going to take you a little longer than 5 minutes. Notice what happens very quickly. Verse 19, moreover, all the vessels which King Ahaz in his reign did cast away in his transgression, have we prepared, sanctified, and behold, they are before the altar of the Lord. See, they're restoring all that defilement now. Verse 20, and Hezekiah the king rose early, gathered the rule of the cities, went up into the house of the Lord. See, this is a community thing. It's a church-wide deal. We're doing it. Amen? It's not one person doing it. We're all going to do it. Everyone say amen. Father, you heard them. Amen. You have now permission. I heard everyone say amen. Go get them. Get them. Sometimes that's all he needs, and he's on it. Verse 21, and they brought 7 bullocks, 7 rams, 7 lambs, 7 goats for a sin offering for the kingdom and for the sanctuary. This is the blood of Jesus. This is going to happen when you're in the mercy seat. You're obtaining the blood of Jesus for yourself. You're obtaining it for others. You're having the trespass cleansed by the blood. See, he's cleansing by the blood. Love will be restored when the blood cleanses the trespass. When you bring it before the throne of grace and present them, begin praying for them and obtaining mercy, obtaining grace. The blood of Jesus is going to cleanse that defilement. Woo! How I know the first things will start having weight. It's going to start lifting off of you. You're going to start feeling clean. You're going to start feeling light. When you start feeling clean and light, you're getting ready for blessing, because this is releasing the Holy Spirit to start answering some of the prayers that he's been blocked. Amen. Glory. Verse 24, the priest killed them. Not one another. Right there, brother. I see it. The priest killed him. I have permission to kill him right there. They sacrificed. That was Christ that died in your place right there. They made reconciliation with their blood upon the altar to make an atonement for the whole house. We want atonement for everything and everyone. We want to come out clean and ready and flowing where the testimonies of heaven will start flowing through us. Amen. Woo! Guess the first thing that happens when this happens? Intimacy and worship will immediately start being restored. You tell a lot about somebody by how they worship. I'm going to tell you what, hurting, wounded people have a very hard time in intimacy with God. The first thing that happened when they were freed is that worship was restored. You can see that. Verse 25, he set the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals, psalteries, and harps. Verse 26, and the Levites stood up with the instruments of David and the priests with instruments. Verse 28, and the congregation worshiped. The congregation worshiped. You know, when everyone starts worshiping again, that attracts the Holy Spirit. And he starts, when everyone's checked out, we're checked out because we got a lot of stuff. Now, I'm not talking to people for health reasons, because I know sometimes you can't stand. But some people, they can't stand up because they're so heavy. They got to sit down because these things are heavy on them. That's why you got to unload that. When you get light, you are like, your spirit gets pulled upward, see. When you get the restraints of the flesh lifted from you. This is what he's going to do when he cleanses the temple. The Holy Spirit's going to start filling you with life again. And the whole congregation begins responding. Worship's going to change. It's already good, but it's going to be great. I mean, we have that with videos. What are we going to do when we get our team reestablished? Amen? When the sons of Asaph start standing up in there. The Asaph government gets reestablished. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Verse 29, and when they had made an end of an offering, the king and all that were present with him bowed themselves and they worshiped. Freedom restored. And here's the last one. Look at verse 31. Things change in the way you give. Things change in your giving. Things change when defilement and things are broken. When you begin to give, things start happening with the Lord. It changes the way you give. It changes the interaction between you and heaven. Things get broken off. Hezekiah answered and says, look at the difference. First, the temple was completely closed off. Now it's open. When your temple starts free-flowing, guess what starts free-flowing in you? Generosity, liberality starts flowing again. When you get closed off, nothing flows. That's what stagnation does. I've been in stagnation. It's not very fun. At least now I know why it's there. Amen? He said to Hezekiah, answered verse 31, now you have consecrated yourselves unto the Lord. Come near. Bring sacrifices and thank offerings unto the house of the Lord. He's actually bringing the offering because in those days they brought sacrifices. That was their offering. And the congregation brought in sacrifices and thank offerings. And as many as were of a free heart, burnt offerings, as many as a free heart, the ones who got free, see. That's going to cause a release. That's going to cause increase. And it's going to cause multiplication to start flowing. It's going to cause riches and glory to start getting manifested. That means favor is coming, going to knock on your door. Woo! Somebody yelled 35. Look at 35. And also, the burnt offerings, verse 35, were in abundance. That means the checkbooks, because these days we give checks and not burnt offerings. They were in abundance. Say abundance. The temple doors were open. The flow of the kingdom was reestablished. When that flow starts flowing, things start happening. Goodness starts happening. Blessings start happening. Life starts happening. The fat offerings, the peace offerings, the drink offerings, for every burnt offering. So the service of the house of the Lord was set in order. Everyone, just lift your hand and say, Father, set me in order. Set us in order. Set the temple in order. Hey, when you start getting healed and whole, God's going to start telling you, you need to go to that person, start talking to them now. You got to make things right. I tell you, make sure you get your heart right first and get whole and let the Holy Spirit lead you. Because sometimes you get in there too fast with somebody and you're not ready. you know, you hadn't processed enough. It won't work for the good. But like Tim, see, he was led of the Lord, and it just opened that up, see. Sometimes you're going to have to face the person. Look at verse 36. And Hezekiah rejoiced. This is where we'll close here. And all the people that God had prepared the people. That's what he's going to do. It's the fast he's chosen to cleanse the temple. That's what we're looking for. For the thing was done suddenly. Ever heard of a suddenly showing up? There's going to be some things done suddenly. God's going to suddenly come to the temple. And if he likes what he sees, bam! I want God to come and inspect me after 21 days. I want him to like what he sees. I want the eyes of the Lord to be like a magnet drawn to me. I don't want him coming to my temple and finding defilement there. When I walk before him in the kingdom, first thing he's going to ask you, did you learn to love? Because you have plenty of opportunities in this life to learn. Did you learn to love? You know, every year God asks me that. Do you know that about the beginning of the year? Have you learned to love? Every once in a while I go, well, I'm working on it. I'm working on it. Now I'm saying yes. Because what he's asking you, have you learned to overcome? Not just to bear a burden. I don't want to bear. I want to overcome the burden with the love of God. I want the enemy to take his best shot. Not really. But when he does, because he's going to do it anyway. When he does, you know, you walk in a high place with God, he's going to take a shot at you. A lot of them. But I want to be able to come out overcoming, fullness of love. What are you going to do with somebody like that? All you do is respond in love. He's throwing everything. You're learning to overcome. This 21 days, we're going to overcome. 21 days, this increase and multiplication is going to be restored. Pureness is going to be restored. Wholeness is going to be restored. The Holy Spirit's flow. Innocency is going to be restored. I'm going to have an innocent heart, free of debris. Ahaz is going to get the boot. He closed the doors of the temple. He's out. The temples are going to open up again. My temple's going to be open. And here's the deal. When you're whole, you won't be guarded in trying to protect yourself. When you have all that steel around you trying to protect yourself, it doesn't protect you. The enemy can go right through that stuff. You think it's protecting you, but all it's doing is walling you up. When you're whole, when you're truly whole, you're free to be transparent. And if somebody tries to hurt you, that stuff just bounces right off of you. Man, that's the Holy Ghost's armor. That's the kingdom of God. That's the high tower of God. That's the refuge of God when we're truly free. Amen. We'll stop hurting one another. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah.